If you would, please turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to continue the theme today, Brother Billings, excellent messages this morning. Faith, we are going to deal with the character of faith this afternoon. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read verses 1 through 6 and then we'll have a word of prayer. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Father, we thank you again for the day. Thank you for the good fellowship we had at the noon meal. We thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, as we turn our attention unto your word yet once again, as we open the Bible, as we have the opportunity to hear, I pray that you'll help us to hear what the Spirit saith to the church. I pray for grace for he who speaks as well as they who listen. I pray that when we leave this place today that we'll be able to say, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Instruct us, help us, teach us, give us ears to hear, hearts to understand, wills that will be molded and moved by thy Spirit according to your will for our lives. We'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice, and we are going to look at verse 1. That's going to be the verse that we mainly deal with. I'm going to take this verse and just dissect it, so to speak, and we're going to look at different sections of it. I'm going to say a few things about each section. The first section that we're going to look at is, now faith is. There's two questions that I've asked many pastors over the years, and I've asked them, what is grace and what is faith? And most pastors have told me that faith is trusting God, believing in God. And yes, that's true, and that's what faith is. But every time I've read Hebrews 11:1, it always arrested my attention. And here, a couple months ago, I started studying it out. It says, now faith is, the definition of faith is rooted or based in God or Christ with confidence or trust in who and what he is pertaining to character, salvation, and all essentials for the Christian life. The definition of faith is rooted and based in God and Christ with confidence or trust in who or what he is pertaining to character, salvation, and all essentials for the Christian life. It's interesting, when I've read this chapter before, I always paid attention to the patriarchs. I paid attention to Abraham and Moses and things, but that is not what the chapter's teaching. The chapter is not teaching the doctrine of faith. The chapter is teaching the grace of faith, that grace that God gives his believers, enable for us to live for him each and every day. Thomas Manton, from a message that he preached in one of his books, says the apostles' drift here is to show not what we do believe, but how we live by faith. Therefore, the grace is understood, not the doctrine. So we're talking about the grace of faith, not the doctrine, not talking about salvation, not talking about any of the doctrines that concern faith, but how we as believers are to live and how faith is going to relate to our life to live for Christ. Romans 1:17, it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I'm going to expand that last phrase, the just shall live by faith. This is the meaning of it. It means the righteous, observing divine laws, shall live, be among the living, not lifeless or dead, by a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. So to live, the just to live by faith is talking about a relationship that we have to God and the divine things. Therefore, faith is the grace that the Christian has to trust God, to have confidence in the character of God concerning the essentials of the Christian life. There again, faith is the believer's trust or confidence in the character of God concerning the essentials for the Christian life. Now, what is the character of God? The character of God, the characteristics of God, are known as His attributes. God gives us about at least 20 different attributes in His Word, whereby we know Him. The definition of an attribute is a quality inherent in or ascribed to someone or something. Another definition of property, a quality or feature belonging to or representative of a person or thing. When you say God, how do you describe God? You describe Him by love, mercy, grace, long-suffering, patience, forgiveness, sovereignty, supremacy. Those are all attributes of God. The only way that we can identify or relate to God is through His attributes, through His characteristics. Through those characteristics that God has revealed to us in His Word, that is the basis of the Christian's trust or faith in God. Faith is knowing God by His attributes, which enable a believer to trust or have confidence in His character pertaining to the essentials of the Christian life. So I have faith. What am I saying? I believe I have confidence in the character of God. It's not in me. I have no confidence in me. The Bible says there is no confidence in the flesh. I have nothing in and of myself. All my confidence is in God. Okay, what part of God? Okay, it's in the character of God. Let's go to the next. It says faith is then the substance of things hoped for. The substance of things hoped for. Now, this phrase tells how a believer is to enact that confidence and trust in the character of God. The substance of things hoped for. The word substance means this: the quality of character which leads one to stand under, endure, undertake anything with confidence and or expectation. So substance is talking about the character, not of God. This is talking about the believer's responsibility to God, our responsibility as far as our trust and belief in the character of God, our character to be able to stand under, endure, or undertake anything with confidence. It's interesting, as you read chapter 11, you'll notice what things the people went through, how they withstood. You look at Christianity today and you see so many people who say, I can't take it. I can't. Why is that? Because it's not the trials that God is putting them through. You have to understand, everything about your life was predestinated before the foundation of the world. What you were going to look like, where you were going to live, your job, everything about your life was already predestined. By the way, every trial you were going to ever go through has already been predestined. By the way, the confidence that God wants you to have in Him has already been predestined. God has given us everything to equip us with this life. The question is not, is God capable? The question is, are you strong enough? The quality of character which leads one to stand under, endure, undertake anything with confidence and or expectation. Quote from Pink, it says, a spiritual and saving knowledge of God is the greatest need of every human creature. The foundation of all true knowledge of God must be a clear mental apprehension of His perfections as revealed in the Holy Scriptures. Job 22:21. The Bible says, acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Acquaint. That word acquaint is a hithphil imperative. It expresses a wish or a command to the will of another. Acquaint now thyself. We can put my name there. Put your name there. Acquaint now your name with him. That word acquaint means to show harmony with. It means to know intimately. We're talking about our knowledge of God. I'm talking about the substance of things hoped for is talking about our mental apprehension of God, of his characteristics of who God is. If you were to ask, if somebody asked you a question, who is God to you? What would we say? Well, God is love. And this is a day and age where God is love. God is love, love, love. Everything's love. God is love. God, okay. But how do you relate your character to that love, that aspect of God? How do we live that daily? Jeremiah 9:23 and 24, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty glory in his might, let not the rich glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, saith the Lord, that I am the Lord. The word knoweth is a qual infinitive. It means to have knowledge. It means to be acquainted with, to know by experience. Paul in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Have you ever wished you could say that? Have you ever wished you could say like Paul, I'm content. It doesn't matter what happens, I'm content with my life, my job, everything about my life, I'm content. I'm self-satisfied. There's nothing that I need. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Isn't that what most people are trying to do? Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state. That word learned is an aorist active indicative. It's a punctiliar action as an event or in its entirety as a statement of fact. And in fact, Paul is saying as a statement of fact, his life, that I have nothing, I'm content. There's nothing I need. There's nothing I'm looking after. I'm completely happy with whatever happens. Well, how can Paul say that? Because I believe in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall have rest unto your souls. That word learn in Matthew 11, 29 is an aorist active imperative. It's a command or entreaty to commence an action at once with a sense of urgency and determination. It's an imperative. He's saying, learn of me. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait next week. Don't wait next year. Learn of me right now. It's an imperative. Urgency, determination. Why could Paul undertake all the things that he did? If you will, turn with me to 2 Corinthians just real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want you to look with me in verse number 23. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. Now, this is a list of Paul's trials, of his testing in his life. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Matthew Henry says of Paul, speaking of his Philippians 4:11, being content, he was content with the little he had, and that satisfied him. He depended on the providence of God to provide for him day to day, so he did not speak in respect of want for anything. We have here an account of Paul's learning. Not that which he got at the feet of Gamaliel, but that which he got at the feet of Christ. My question to you and I today is, whose feet are you sitting at? Where are you sitting? Paul sat at the feet of Christ, and he could say, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith be content. Why is that? Because Paul learned Christ. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There again, that word study, an aorist, active imperative, a command or entreaty to commence an action at once with a sense of urgency and determination. Study to show thyself approved. Faith, putting these two together, faith is substance of things hoped for. The believer learning and knowing God's character by the study of His attributes, which will develop the quality of character, which will enable the believer to stand under, endure, undertake anything with confidence and expectation. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and then the last phrase, the evidence of things and then not seeing. We're going to divide that into two, the evidence of things. The evidence of things, this phrase lets a believer know what he can expect as he lives his life with faith, learning of Christ, learning of God, studying to show himself approved, applying himself to learn who God is, to learn who and what God is, to know the character of God. The believer will know God's character working in the future as he has known God in the past. The definition of the evidence of things, the proof of that which has been done. We take an attribute of Christ, of God, to solidify this phrase, and that's the immutability of God, His inability to change. God's immutable. He cannot change. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17 through 19, the Bible says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. What God has done in the past, God will do in the future. What God has done for others, He will do for me. What He has done for His children yesterday, God will do for me as His child tomorrow. I'm glad that the Bible says that God says that He is no respecter of persons. You're a child of God. You are His son, His daughter. You've been regenerated. You belong to Him. You've been washed in the blood of Christ. Whatever God has done in the past for, by the way, for His, in this book, an example of of all the miracles, of all the attributes that God has shown to His people in the past, God will do that for us today and tomorrow. What's God saying? He's saying, you learn of me. As you learn of me, and your confidence in me begins to grow because you learn of my characteristics. You learn who and what I am. As you learn, you become stronger, and you will know, by the way, the doubt. Will we doubt? We're human. We will doubt at times. But as we learn Christ, as we learn God, the doubt should dissipate more and more. We should doubt less as we get to know Him more. Matthew Henry again says, the promises of God are all founded in His eternal counsel. And this counsel of His is an immutable counsel. The promise of blessedness which God has made to believers is not a rash and hasty thing, but the result of God's eternal purpose. This purpose of God was agreed upon in counsel and settled there between the eternal Father, Son, and Spirit. These counsels of God can never be altered. They are immutable. God never needs to change His counsels, for nothing new can arise to Him who sees the end from the beginning. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is saying the evidence of things. God is telling us in that phrase what I am, what I was, I will be today, and I will always be, because God can never change. And then the last two words, not seen. These two words tell the believer why faith is important, why it is important for us as Christians to learn God, to know Him, as Paul, to sit at the feet of Christ, to acquaint ourselves with Him. The word not is the absolute negative, means cannot, not, no way possible, and seeing, to observe or discern or to be perceived. In other words, not seeing is God basically telling us that there is no way that He is going to tell you what the Christian life is going to cost you, if I can say that. There's no way that when you get saved, when you come to Christ, there's no way of what is going to be expected of you in your life. I think often as I've been studying this, my mind, I just go back to Ezekiel, and I did not look it up. I don't have the exact chapters. But Ezekiel, one of the major prophets, was told by God that He was going to take the desire of his eyes, the desire of his life, his wife. God was going to take his wife as a sign to Israel, and Ezekiel was supposed to come home, not cry, not mourn. He was not supposed to show any emotion about his wife's departure. He was supposed to get up in the morning, leave her in the house, go out and preach the gospel, preach to the Israel like he had always done. You talk about not knowing what the call, his salvation, was going to cost him. I can't imagine that. Can you comprehend that? I can't comprehend God asking somebody or commanding someone to do that. I can't imagine, as you look down in this chapter and you see the things that God required of these people to do, especially in the last few verses. If you would, look with me in verse number 34. Quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Listen to this. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, torment, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. I wonder how many people would want to live the life that God had for them if they knew what it would cost them down the road. We live in a day and age where, of course, and I'm in the boat with everybody else, we want it easy. We don't want any trials. We don't want anything to rock our boat. We don't want to go through any major hardships. We have a couple, those of you on Wednesday night, you've been praying for them, and we really appreciate it. Was it 2 weeks ago? She was on her way to work. 3 weeks ago, she was on her way to work, had cardiac arrest. In the last 3 weeks, she's getting better, but their world was changed that quick. Would you want your wife to have a cardiac arrest and maybe be a vegetable the rest of her life, where you have to be, no, I don't want that. What if that's what God has for you? We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what it's going to cost us. But listen to this. I know this, that the Bible says that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. He said that He will always be there. Matthew 11:28, as our pastor has told us, that He will be with us through every day. Whatever that day has, He will be there with us. Not seeing, the evidence of things not seeing. God's not going to allow you to know what tomorrow holds, what you're going to have to endure. How am I going to take it? The strength of anything is measured by what it supports or endures. the strength of your Christianity will be tested by what you're able to endure, by what you're able to support, what you're able to go through with confidence and assurance. How do I strengthen myself? By learning God. Because only God can give you the strength that you need, can develop your confidence, your character, to be able to undertake everything that He is going to put you and I through. To those of you who do not know Christ as your Savior, let me say you are missing out on the greatest life a person can live this side of heaven. There's a lot of hoopla in the world, a lot of bright lights. But one day, everyone is going to be tested. Whether you are a Christian or not, you will be tested. Here, about 2.5 months ago, we had one of our men at work. They were together, and I'm sure they were drinking, partying, took off on a motorcycle. And we don't really know what happened, but the next thing we knew, he was in a hospital. He's paralyzed. As far as I know, he's paralyzed from his chest down. They don't know if he'll ever walk again. One of his best friends at work literally had to take a week off. He literally ended up himself in the hospital because he could not take what happened to his friend. You and I will be tried. We are going to be tested. That's how God is perfecting us, and that is how God is going to give us a quality that enables us to stand and to endure everything that He's already predestined for us to handle. If you're not saved, if you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, receive Him today. Flee to Christ. Trust Him. Only He can give you that strength that you will need to endure in this life. Father, I pray that You'll bless us today, and I pray that You'll help us as we look to You, Father, the source. As Hebrews said, You're the anchor of our soul. Father, I pray that You'll help us to live by faith, to be equipped to please You, to be obedient to You, that we can persevere, that we can, to our family, to our friends, our co-workers, those around us, that we can show the strength of Christ in our lives by that which we are willing to endure, to go through. Father, I pray that that will only be as what Paul did as he learned of Christ. Father, help us to obey the aorist active imperative, that command or entreaty, that with a sense of urgency and determination, that if we have not studied, if we have not gotten into the Word, and if we have not been students of this book, help us to do so even today. And Father, give grace and mercy and work in hearts and lives to be honored and glorified. May You be exalted in all things. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You for Your attention.